Howdy and welcome to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. This is week 8, day 3 of the study of Revelation. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and today we're talking about Revelation 16, 1 through 11. Thanks for listening to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. Click subscribe in the iTunes or the Google Play Store to get this Bible study 5 days a week for your commute, workout, or wherever else you may listen. I want to encourage you to do something special with me over the next few weeks. Lauren Cunningham, the founder of Youth with a Mission, has asked us to pray to end Bible poverty worldwide. We need believers and unbelievers reading the Bible so they can know God. Would you consider praying to end Bible poverty on a weekly and daily basis? If you would, please go to endbiblepovertynow.com and sign up to pray. Let's pray before we start today. Lord, would you end Bible poverty worldwide? Would you cause your people to begin reading your word on a daily basis? Would you provide your beautiful word to every tongue, tribe, and nation on earth? Would you raise up translators, messengers, and missionaries, and workers for your global harvest through your word, God? And speak to us today from the book of Revelation. In your name we pray. Amen. Before we jump into this, I do want to encourage you again. I can't say this enough. I probably don't say this enough, but please commit to reading the book of Revelation once a week for these 10 weeks. And I'm not saying study and delve into it. You can read the book of Revelation in under 2 hours. If you're a fast reader, you can read it in an hour, the whole thing. So if you break that up over 6 days, you know, if you get the 10-week Bible study on the book of Revelation, there's a reading guide that breaks it up into 6 days, because we all know that there's bound to be one day a week where you're going to miss it. There's going to be bound to be one day where you get off your schedule or something like that, if not more. And that's okay. Just keep going, but commit to reading once a week for those 10 weeks. And don't try and stop and figure things out. Just read it. Just read it straight through. Don't stop. Get it in you. It's so much easier to study the Bible after you've read the Bible. And those are two very different things. I encourage you to read the Bible before you study the Bible. It's very difficult to study something you're not familiar with. You know, if you've ever been to a zoo, people don't study animals that they're not familiar with. Zookeepers, they have to get familiar with the animals. They have to be with them. They have to be around them. They have to get to know them, because they can know how, let's say, a gorilla behaves, but every gorilla isn't the same. And so they have to be around that gorilla. They have to get to know it. They have to be familiar with it. And then they can understand. It's helpful to study them and to know about them, but unless they get familiar with them, it's very difficult to predict what's going to happen with them. They have their personalities. And so it does take study, but it also takes reading the Bible. We have to read it and just get it in us, familiarize ourselves with it. I believe it's much easier to study the word once we've read the word, once we know the word, once we have it locked away in our hearts. That's when we can dive deep into it. But before that, we just have to get it in us. We have to read it over and over and over again. And I encourage you, I believe that's why there is Bible poverty in the United States, when most houses have, even most unbelieving houses, have multiple Bibles. There's a great lack of Bible understanding in the United States. And most people, unbelievers, have multiple Bibles. Believers have upwards of 10 to 20 Bibles in their houses, but very few people read them. So I encourage you, read it. Over and over, get it in you, make it a daily habit. So with that, let's go ahead and jump back into the book of Revelation. Today, we're going to be reading from Revelation chapter 16. I'm reading out of the NIV. And if you've ever wondered why I read out of the NIV, it's because I believe it's a much more readable translation. I'm not endorsing the NIV as the best translation or anything like that. I think all of the translations have their strong suits and their faults, their flaws. So we're reading from the NIV because I believe it's the easiest thing for me to read over the air. So if you've ever wondered why I read from the NIV, that's why. But anyway, so we're going to read Revelation chapter 16 out of the NIV. This is 16:1. Then I heard a loud voice from the temple saying to the seven angels, "Go, pour out 7 bowls of God's wrath on the earth." The first angel went and poured out his bowl on the land, and ugly, festering sores broke out on the people who had the mark of the beast and worshipped its image. So again, what we know from last week, from last time, is that God has closed himself up in his temple. His glory cloud is surrounding him, and he is the one speaking out of the temple from within this glory cloud. And he's saying, pour it out. Pour out these seven bowls. Go and do it now. And like we talked about yesterday, I believe all of these things are going to happen in a 30-day time period. This is going to happen very rapidly. So understand, this is going to bring chaos and torment on these people on the earth. But notice who this is being poured out on. This is not being poured out on everybody. Now, if what I believe and what most people believe is that the rapture has already taken place, all the believers are now not on the earth. They have been taken away, and they're in this holding period before the Lord comes back to earth to rule and reign for eternity. And so God is saying that the only people this is affecting are those who have taken the mark of the beast. These ugly festering sores. I mean, this is going to cause tremendous pain. And it's only taking place on those who have taken the mark of the beast. So there's a clear separation between those who have taken it and those who haven't. So that tells us that there are people who are not believers, they're not saints, but they also haven't sided with the Antichrist. And I've heard it said, and I kind of like this, you know, it's like they're these independent holdouts, you know, these good old Texas boys with their shotguns and saying, you know, I don't know about this Jesus guy, but I sure as heck ain't going to follow that Antichrist. You know, I'm from Texas, and I can totally see that happening. You know, as holdouts saying, you know, the government's going to take my guns over my dead body. You know, it's that same kind of deterministic, resistive spirit, that they are not going to follow the Antichrist. They haven't decided to follow Jesus yet, but they're sure as heck not going to follow the Antichrist. And that's kind of how these people are. They're holdouts. There are holdouts on planet Earth, but I believe they're few at this point. And so this first bowl, it's only poured out on those with the mark of the beast. And I believe that that is the way that all of these are going to go, is that they're really only poured out on those with the mark of the beast. There's going to be a distinction for these people that are holding out. Verse 3, the second angel poured out his bowl on the sea, and it turned into blood like that of a dead person, and every living thing in the sea died. Now this bowl is being poured out on the earth. You know, so this is affecting everybody. Again, this is not just affecting those with the mark of the beast, but now God is bringing in totality. What we saw in the seals was that a quarter of the earth was affected when the earth was affected. In the trumpet judgments, a third of the earth was affected. Now we're seeing in the bowls, totality. Everything is being affected. Every single person who took the mark of the beast is being affected by these sores. Everything in the sea dies. Let that sink in for a moment. Think about how big the sea is. I was watching a study the other day where they were saying they've been trying to calculate the number of fish in the sea. And I mean, the sea is very deep, and there are just so many tons and tons of fish. There's trillions of fish in the sea of varying sizes. Trillions. Imagine if every one of them dies and then floats to the surface and starts washing up on the shore. This is going to be misery on earth. We already know that so much of the earth has been affected by the judgments. It's probably very difficult at this point for people to eat and drink. I mean, just living is very challenging. And now one of the last sources of decent food is gone. The fishing industry is over. Everything is dead. That's going to make it very difficult for those on planet Earth. Verse 4, the third angel poured out his bowl on the rivers and springs of water, and they became blood. Then I heard the angel in charge of the waters say, "You are just in these judgments, O Holy One, you who are and who were, for they have shed the blood of your holy people and your prophets, and you have given them blood to drink as they deserve." And I want to stop right there and just think about this. Everything in the sea has died. The sea has turned to blood, like that of a dead person. I mean, think It's not even like live blood. It's like dead, rotting blood. And now the sea is already dead. And now the fresh water is taken away. What are people going to drink? What's left? How do you drink water? This is going to be so miserable. The fresh water, the remaining fresh water, I don't even know where they're going to get it or how they're going to get it. This is going to be very difficult. Your food sources are going away. Your drinking water is going away. And then this angel pauses. And I think he's contemplating and he's speaking to us. Because when we think about this, when you put yourself in their shoes, the misery being poured out on them is so great that we would likely be offended by what God has just done. And this angel is dealing with that offense, speaking to us and speaking to those in heaven, saying, "You are just, God, in doing this because they shed the blood. You are doing this specifically because they shed the blood of your holy people and your prophets. And now you've given them blood to drink as they deserve." This is a powerful moment where we're told that they're given blood to drink and that God is just in doing this. Listen to the response from heaven, verse 7. "And I heard the altar respond, 'Yes, Lord God Almighty, true and just are your judgments.'" So yes, God is just in doing this. We have to acknowledge him as just in doing this. There is justice in what's going on here, as harsh as this is. We have to understand the other than world that these people have been living in. They have killed God's saints by the millions. The number of martyrs is beyond comprehension during this time period. God is enacting the vengeance now asked for in the fifth seal by the saints. The saints under the altar who were given white robes to wear and told to be patient a little bit longer until the number of their servants to be martyred was complete. Those same saints from under the altar, they respond, "Yes, Lord God Almighty, true and just are your judgments." This is God giving them vengeance for the blood that was shed. The wickedness on planet Earth right now is beyond anything within comprehension. This is unprecedented. There's never, ever been anything like this in the history of mankind. The wickedness on planet Earth. It outweighs that of the days preceding the flood in Noah's day. It outweighs that. That is not even a precedent for the wickedness on planet Earth. So God is pouring out blood for them to drink as retribution for these wicked people on earth killing his people. That's us. He is standing up for us as those under the altar had cried out for. This is their moment. Verse 8. "The fourth angel poured out his bowl on the sun, and the sun was allowed to scorch people with fire. They were seared by the intense heat, and they cursed the name of God who had control over these plagues, but they refused to repent and glorify him. The fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast, and its kingdom was plunged into darkness. People gnawed their tongues in agony and cursed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, but they refused to repent of what they had done." Now, I think it's interesting that both of these bold judgments end with the same thing, that they refuse to repent. Even though they know who's doing it, they know why, they will not repent of their sin. Looking at the fourth bowl, I think it's very interesting. All of these things, they're retribution that God is pouring out for what they've done to his saints. And we saw earlier in the book of Revelation where it looks like, you know, that we're promised that those of us will have rest from our troubles. The sun will no longer scorch us. It's like during World War II, People were left in concentration camps out in the open, out in the elements, to be scorched by the sun during the day. No shade. Imagine having to just be scorched by the sun with no way to find shade, no cover, no sunscreen, just being burned by it day after day. God is pouring it back on them, and there's nowhere to hide. The sun somehow is going to intensify, and it's going to scorch everyone on earth. There'll be nowhere to hide. These people who have taken the mark of the beast, they will not be able to hide from it. And the fifth seal is that this kingdom is plunged into darkness. And so now, whereas they were just scorched with the sun, now they're going to be gnawing their tongues in agony from these sores that they still have from the first bowl. Now there's nothing for them to do, nowhere for them to go, no way to occupy their mind, because they're in this supernatural darkness that they can't escape. So God is going to force them to deal with their agony that he's putting on them. And this is retribution. This is vengeance for how they treated his people, for them thinking that they could war against his son. And just and true is he for doing it. That's it for today. Thanks for listening to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. I'm glad you joined me. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and we'll be back tomorrow for another day of the 10-Week Bible Podcast.